Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be focusing on the 17th perek of Melachim Aleph, and we finally meet him, we meet Eliyahu. It is interesting that Tanakh doesn't really give us too much of an introduction. It just starts by saying, Vayomer Eliyahu Atishbi Mitosh Vagilad El Achav. So Eliyahu turns to Achav and speaks. Who is Eliyahu? Where does he come from? We don't hear so much about that. But immediately the first thing we hear about him, he says that by the life of Hashem, Hashem says he makes a decree that Hashem will not give rain or dew until I decide so. That's what Eliyahu says, and in fact there is a famine which ensues. And Hashem turns to Eliyahu and says, you have to go from here. You need to go Ponisok Lachal Kedmah, go eastwards and hide in the valley of Chris. So off he goes, he hides in the valley of Chris, and he's going to be now drinking water from the river, from the brook. And it's interesting that Hashem tells him explicitly there's a miracle that's going to happen. Ravens are going to come and bring him bread. And that's what happens. Every day, the ravens bring him bread and meat in the mornings and meat and bread in the evenings. And he drinks from the brook. And he stays there for a little while because there simply is a famine elsewhere. Then he gets new instructions. Hashem says, you need to go to Tzarfas, which is by Sidon. So he's going up northwards, out to the out of the Eretz Israel area, and he's going to go to an area because Hashem says he has commanded a certain almana, a certain widow, to support Eliyahu. Okay, so off he goes. He comes to this area, and there's this widow here who's cutting wood, obviously a very poor woman, and she offers him food, but she barely has enough for herself. She really has barely enough to even fulfill herself. So what Eliyahu does is he says, "Well, take your little flask of oil and your containers for your bread. And what you're going to do is that I'm going to make it that it'll never cease to have oil or bread from those containers." Meaning to say that there'll be a continuous flow of shefa for this lady. And that's what happens. She has no shortage of bread, and he stays there. However, tragedy strikes. And at the end of the parak, we're told that the son of the widow, she is the Isha Habala Sabais, the woman in charge of the house, got very sick to the point that Loi Nosra Boy Neshama, that his soul left him. He dies. She turns to Eliyahu and she says, because you came, and you, the man of God, you brought din upon me and my child died. How could that be? So he says, well, give me your son. He takes her up to the attic, to Aliyah, and he lies him on the bread, and he calls out to Hashem, and he says, Hashem, how could you do this? Hashem, how could you kill the child of this woman? And he calls out to Hashem. And what happens is Hashem listens and resuscitates the dead, returns the soul to this boy, and he lives. He brings this boy down, and finally the woman says, Atoze Odati, now I know ki ish amakimata, that you're the man of God, udvar zeb udvar Hashem beficha emes. And Hashem's word is your mouth truthfully. Very unusual perek in so many ways. First, a few things just to clarify. Where does Eliyahu exactly come from? We're told it's from Tishbi. And some people say it's a place called Toshav, is the place that he actually lives. But we know nothing of him. What is the context for this conversation? So the Chidah actually quotes, very fascinatingly, Yalkut Ruveni. That's more of a sideline midrash. We don't hear it quoted so often. The Yalkut Ruveni says that when Hashem said, Na'aseh Adam, let us make humanity, at the very beginning of creation, on day 6 of creation, Hashem said, let us make humanity. Who was Hashem speaking to? There are a number of different opinions in the Mefarshim. One of the opinions that Rashi suggests is that Hashem is turning to the angelic host. Hashem is turning to the angels and saying, I'm going to create a creature that is free will. It's not going to be like an animal. It's not going to be like an angel. It's going to be a little bit of both. And he consulted the Parmalia Shemata, the celestial palace, before making the humanity. Says the Yalkut Ruveni that in that array of angels was an angel who was ultimately going to be Eliyahu HaNavi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eliyahu, should we do this? And Eliyahu says, if you do, yes. If you do, then I will go there. I will go down after time to help fix them, to help correct them. And in fact, so Eliyahu, is, in a certain sense, doesn't have a context on a human level because he is spiritually, his context is spiritual. He comes down to this earth to be able to fix up what humanity has devastated. It is interesting to note that you're going to see that as we go through this, Eliyahu is very, very makpid. Eliyahu is very, very decisive, very, very fixed to the din, the way din should be. It is interesting that that comes from because of the fact maybe he is not otherworld, he is not worldly, he is unworldly in that sense. We're going to see how his, the friction between his din and the reality that he faces in poor people is going to be tried numerous times. We will try to explore the idea of him being Pinchas at a later point. Nonetheless, why exactly is he running or is he told to go to Nachal Chris in the first place? So the Malbim says, well, it's very simple. The reason he's going there is because he's now a wanted man. If you declare a famine on the king called Ahab and the queen called Jezebel, you're going to have a big price on your head. So he needs to get out there for his own personal safety. However, the Malbim also says that it could be because, very simple, is that that Eliyahu is going to be sustained miraculously. So anybody in his environment is also going to be sustained from this famine. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send him out in a place where nobody else will be the beneficiaries of his sustenance. So it is interesting when you follow up with the story of the Almana. One of the curious things about the story that he goes to this widow is that Hashem tells him that he should go there because she will feed him. The funny thing is when he goes there, he realizes that she really doesn't have anything to feed him with. Which is what the Radak says, is that's how he puts the two dots, he connects the dots. He understands what Hashem is really telling him is, in order for her to be able to feed you, you need to perform a miracle for her in order for that to happen. So Hashem is actually implicitly saying, this is what you need to be doing. I believe, just tangentially, that this story with the widow is perhaps the foundation for so many more of the Eliyahu stories of where he reappears in history. Because of being this silent angel figure to help support those who don't have. This it really comes from this particular story. The last story about reviving the dead is a very unusual story. We're going to see it repeats itself with his student Elisha later on in a different permutation. The one thing that's really worthwhile thinking about is the following. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, comments on the story and says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu retains three keys in the world. Everything else he allows up to certain machinations of nature, but there are three things that Hashem controls. And number one is rain, and number two is childbirth, and number three is Tchias HaMeisim, resuscitation of the dead. The Gemara comments that in this Gemara, in this particular episode, Eliyahu has taken two of those keys from him. Eliyahu has taken the power of rain, so to speak, into his own hands, and he's also taken the power of resuscitation of the dead into his own hands. Two things that he demanded from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting thing to think about why Eliyahu demanded those two things. But the Gemara then concludes and says the following thing. The Gemara says in a very enigmatic line, at the very bottom of the page, it says, Moshel d'Eliyahu l'mar d'avadayim. What is Eliyahu like? It says, L'gavra d'tariqa l'galyo v'avdei l'mavtecha. It's a person who is the sole carrier of the key of a city, and he locks up the city and he loses the key. What's happening? Eliyahu is going to decree a famine, a lack of rain on the land, and then he's going to go lose the key. He's not going to be able to take it back until HaKadosh Baruch Hu enables him to do this. If we think about this for a second, Eliyahu's hakpada, Eliyahu's being very careful over here and demanding din, justice from the people around him and on earth, is going to close the gate of rain. But Eliyahu is not going to be able to take it back without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. In a certain sense, what Hashem is saying to him, maybe metaphorically, as he brings back this child to life, is Eliyahu, you're very strong about withholding life, but be very, very careful and understand that I'm the only one who really gives life. And there needs to be a balance. You can't just take away if you can't give back. And that's perhaps the microcosm of the lesson that Eliyahu is learning on the macrocosm, because he's done the same thing to the land. In a certain sense, he's killed the boy. Can he bring the boy back without Hashem's help? That's the question he's being asked. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.